I'm just ignorant. I ain't crazy, I'm just ignorant.
Welcome up to the Unusual Thoughts Podcast.
Yep. My people, what's good? I am back. Welcome back. Welcome to episode 27 of the Unusual Thoughts Podcast. I am your ignorant ass host, Desmond, and I feel good, man. I feel good. It's been a good week, man. New blessings, new opportunities, new everything, man. And we all out here trying to take advantage of it. How y'all doing? I need y'all to let me know how y'all doing, man. A couple people have, but I need more people to hit me up. Hit me up, man, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Let me know how y'all been feeling this past week, man, and what your plans are for your upcoming week. But y'all already know, man, I'm going to go ahead and get right to the foolishness, to the ignorance, to all my unusual thoughts, man. I'm going to jump right into the unusual thought of the week. And as soon as I get that done, I'll be right back at you. The unusual thought of the week. Okay. Listen, so, like I was saying, man, I've had a, my last couple weeks, man, have been good, man. Things are turning around, getting better. I'm feeling better. You know, hardships through life happens. And, but my week has been better. And, but I've been having conversations with people. And, you know, some people around me, they're going through some challenges right now. So, excuse me, small burp. But they're going through some challenges, and you know, a piece of me was just telling them, like, look, man, this is just life. This is how it works, man. I know your situation is specific to you, but this is just life. This is just a course of life, so you're going to have your ups and downs. So one of the people that I was talking to, I ended up telling him that, you know, man, this challenge that you're in, this moment, this time, this space that you're in right now, it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment to you. Man, you need to take this opportunity to show people who you really are, because he's having issues with other people around him. So I was just telling him, man, like, don't look at it as a punishment, man. Like, don't get outside yourself. Don't get out of character. Don't let people bring you down to where they are or where they want you to be. Man, just show the people who you really are. Man, stay the course. Keep doing what you're doing, because if you know that you're doing right, and my thing is that, and I guess for me, man, it's not even that you know that you're right, but if you feel like you're doing something right, if you feel like it, you need to continue to try to do that instead of trying to, and I think we all fall victim to this sometimes, is that we find ourselves trying to please everybody. And I've got to a point in my life to where pleasing everybody just doesn't mean much to me at this point in my life. There's only a few people on this earth that I personally want to please, and there's only one person that I need to be pleased, and that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the only person that I honestly need to be pleasing. But there are some people on this earth that I aim to please. I aim to please my son, to make sure that he looks up to me in a certain way. I want to please my mama, for her to look at me and say, my son is doing okay. I want to please my grandmama. But outside of that, there's not many people that I just truly, truly want to please. And we find ourselves doing that to where we'll put ourselves in a hole and we'll do harm to ourselves trying to please everybody else. And that just put more weight on your back and more pressure on you. So, and it gets your focus off the storm that you're in, like trying to please everybody else or the storm that you're in. You're not focused on the storm and working your way out of that storm and getting through that phase of your life, because you're spending so much of your energy, so much of your time, so much of your love, so much of your everything trying to make somebody else happy, when in reality, I know y'all have heard me say this before, some people just will not be happy for you. So whatever phase you're in, like I said, man, it can be anything, financial, spiritually, mentally, physical abuse, whatever it is, like, we gotta stop looking at everything as like, oh my God don't love me, or this person don't love me because they did this to me. Sometimes it's not a punishment, man. Sometimes it's just an opportunity for you. And I just always say, man, whatever the opportunity is, man, try to take advantage of that opportunity. Take advantage of said opportunity to show yourself. I think more than anything else, you need to show people, but more than anything else, show yourself who you truly are. Like, when you go to sleep at night, like, I find sometimes throughout life, people lie to themselves. And it's like, pretty much you're just delusional. So show yourself who you are, man. Look yourself in the mirror. You can be honest with yourself and acknowledge what you're going through and fight through that. Show yourself how tough you are, how resilient you are, how strong you are. Show yourself who you are. So use that, whatever your situation may be. Okay, let's say you want to say it's a punishment to you. Okay, get through the punishment. Punishment don't last forever. So what's on the other side of that? Get to the other side of it, man, and continue to strive and move forward in your life and make the best of whatever opportunity that presents itself in front of you. So again, man, push yourself. Do not look at everything as a punishment. Push yourself to find out who you really are to yourself and to everybody around you. Unusual. Okay, man, that was the unusual thought of the week. Man, I have to say this real quick before I go any further, man. I'm sitting here and I'm recording this podcast, and I received a text that my older cousin, we call him Froggy, that's my cousin, man. He, the first person that let me drive his car, he let me drive the old school Bonneville, two-door giant, clean. He was the first person to let me drive, taught me how to drive. Just got text from his sister that he is heading into surgery to get his left leg amputated. I want y'all, if y'all could, if you hear this, send a prayer up for my cousin. His name is Rexy Bauer. We call him Froggy. Some call him Big Six, whatever you want to call him, man. Send a prayer up for him that he comes through this with flying colors, man. My brother said he talked to him. He's in really, really good spirits. You know, he's been going through some health issues as of late. But my brother said he talked to him and he said, man, he's in good spirits and he made a decision. It was either his leg or his life, and he's deciding to live. So he knows that's his best option moving forward. So, you know, like I said, man, we're not going to get down about it. We're going to try to stay in the best of spirits. We're going to send nothing but power in his direction. He's going to pull through this surgery with no issues or anything of that manner. And like I said, man, y'all just send one up for my big cuz. Big cuz, we love you. I love you. I'll be home soon to check y'all, make sure everything good with you. You know I ain't got nothing but love and respect for you. So I'll be home soon to kick it with you. And, yeah. So, anywho, man, like I said earlier, man, welcome back to another episode, man. It's been a good week, man. You know, life is life. Love is love. And, you know, everything in between. But we do have a few things to discuss, man. So one of the first things that I saw this week, over the last few weeks, from just being around and, you know, just being in and out the mix a little bit, that I saw that people have been doing viral videos of them licking ice cream or licking food items, putting Listerine or mouthwash in their mouth and putting it back on the shelves. First and foremost, you're nasty. And I truly think from the bottom of my heart, I hope you're all found and processed and punished to the fullest extent of the law, because that's nasty and trifling. First and foremost. First and foremost, this trifling. So I've seen those videos, and a piece of me think they're only doing it for the viral moment. And I think they probably, after the cameras turn off, they probably go right back, and they may not buy it, but they may not buy the item, but they may just throw it in the trash, whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's nasty for you to do something like that, man. You don't know how many people you could be affecting like that. Man, kids, parents, and people go to stores and buy food for their families, and their kids eat them, and you know, diseases can be passed like this, so it's just nasty and trifling, just to say the least. Like, just to say the least, is just dead trifling. But I want everybody out there, man, like, check all your food, man, before you buy it. Like, I know most ice cream have a seal around the top of it before you open it. Listerine should have a seal around it. Most things have a seal around it before you open it, to let you know that it's fresh and that nobody has tampered with it. And I want you to pay more attention to that. And when I initially started seeing the videos, I was mad. I was kind of pissed about it, because I'm like, why would you do that? Like, why would you do that? And then I started laughing, because sometimes I'll go into a store and I may be grocery shopping. I may pick some up off the shelf and I may just walk around the store eating it out of the bag or out of the cart that I have. But I never put it back on the shelf. I either pay for it or sometimes I might be like, I don't like this. And I might just throw it in the trash. But most times if I pick up some Oreos or something, I might open the Oreos up before I get to the counter and boom. I just pay for them at the counter. I might open up some chips and pay for them at the counter. It ain't no big deal to me. But to put things like that back on the shelf is just absolutely trifling. Like, this, it's unacceptable. And I, like I said, I hope every single person that does it gets punished. And like I said, I don't, man, take a whole bunch of money from them. Because you shouldn't be doing trifling shit like that to begin with. What else is going on out there in the world? Let me get to this. The Cardi B, and it was interesting to me, and I need to do a better job of this. So Jermaine Dupri said that, pretty much said that strippers are the female rappers today, because really all they're talking about is their pussy and twerking and dancing and, you know, all these raunchy things. So he was just like, it ain't nothing but strippers. So Cardi B came out and was like, it's a lot of girls that do rap that y'all don't pay attention to, which is true. And I, like I just said it like briefly, that I need to do a better job of paying attention to women artists. Cause I can be honest with myself, it's not a lot of women artists that I listen to. And it's not because I don't like the music, I just feel like it's not for me. I can tell you, honest God truth, man, I buy a lot of music. I buy music like on iTunes and things like that. And I think I have 2 women albums on my phone. I think I have, off the top of my head, I know that I have the Her album. I like Her a lot. And I have Lauryn Hill, Miss Education of Lauryn Hill album. Those are the only 2 women artists that I have on my phone. Like, I don't listen to Beyonce. I've never listened to a full Beyonce project. I've never listened to a full Nicki Minaj project. I've never listened to no woman, no matter how good they are, whether it's the Brat. I've never listened to a full project. Those 2 projects, the Miss Education of Lauryn Hill and the Her project, are probably the only 2 women projects that I've ever fully listened to top to bottom. And I do need to do a better job. But like I said, it's I like the women. Like, I like Beyonce. There are a few songs that I listen to. And I would listen to Beyonce. I would listen to 1+1, Monday? I would listen to Halo Monday. I just got into a mood, man. I was just listening to a whole lot of random stuff, and those are 2 of the songs that I listen to. So, and I listen to a few women artists, but Cardi B was just like, the women that are actually rapping about something, y'all don't pay attention to them. And I think not only is this, that goes for women, I think that goes for men as well. Like, I don't think anybody that's rapping about anything significant, I think they have a core following. And we got a couple like Kendrick Lamar. He raps, he has substance to his raps, and people, he's popular to the masses, or J. Cole, popular to the masses. But a lot of the people that actually rap about something, they're not popular to the masses. Now, I think that those 2 guys, I just speak about the guys, those 2 guys do what they do, and they're so popular because they don't put out music rapidly. Like, Kendrick Lamar takes 2, 3, sometimes 4 years in between projects. So when he does finally come out, of course everybody wants to hear what he's saying because he hadn't been out in 2 years or 3 years. Same thing with J. Cole. So as far as the women, like, she named off a couple women like Rhapsody. I've listened to some songs of Rhapsody because people that I respect musically, like Joe Budden has championed her. Charlamagne has championed her. A couple other people that I like, their music, their musical ear, have championed her. So I've made it a point to go listen to some of her music. Now, so those people have championed her. So I made it a point. I'm not going to sit here and lie. Like, I've went and listened to an entire project. But I've listened to quite a few songs of hers. And I need to listen to a project because I'm a project person. Like, I don't like listening to singles. I've made it through half of one of her projects. I've listened to maybe 2 or 3 projects just here and there. I've listened to different songs off of it, but I need to just go through and listen to a complete project because that's where I put value. That's where I place my value for my artist. I place my value in an artist as in what they can do on a complete body of work, whether it be a mixtape, whether it be an album, whatever you want to call it. But if it's 12 songs or something, 10 songs or something along those lines, that's why I place my value in and That's how I put my value as you and the artist. So I do need to do a better job because these women, there are some rapping ass women out here. I've heard them featured on songs. I've heard them, their own songs. There are some rapping ass women. But like Cardi B said, man, people don't pay attention to the rapping ass women because they want to hear about you sucking dick and twerking on this and talking about your vagina and blah, blah, blah. And like Cardi B said, I don't mind doing it because that's what I like. Cardi B was like, I liked it. But when I try to do something different, y'all shit on me. So I went back to what the mass majority of people want. And, you know, sometimes people, and I don't think it's her selling out or anything along those lines because I think she's still in her environment and in the element that she wants to be in. But I think she's also just trying to capture, because at the end of the day, when you're an artist or anything like that, like, I'll be a fool to sit here and say, like, hey, I don't want the mass of people to hear my podcast. I'll be lying. I want as many people across the world to hear my podcast and to repost my podcast and do those things, because the more people that listen to it, the better I feel about it. I feel like I'm doing something good. So when people say, nah, I just want a core group of people to listen to my music, blah, 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 my ass. Like, no, give me as many people. If I can get 100,000 people or 1,000 people or 100 people to listen to my podcast on a weekly basis, you damn right that's what I want. Now, I'm not going to sell myself out to do that, but I will make changes to try to give myself an opportunity to do that. So I don't think she's selling herself short or selling herself out by rapping about those salacious things. Like I said, I truly do think she's still within her element when she does that. And I don't see a problem with it, but I do think she said something that struck home to me, like, but if y'all want those type of things, well, support people that do it. Support. Like, Rhapsody puts out great, like I said, she puts out great music that I don't always listen to, but all the music that I've heard from her has been amazing. Tink was amazing when she was putting out different songs and things like that, and she's still amazing to this day. So, but when the masses don't support, then you can't complain. Don't complain about something and not support it in the same breath. So I think that was just a really, really interesting conversation. So I think it goes both ways for men and women, because like a lot of these mumble rappers don't be really talking about nothing. They just rap about they watch and they car and the money that they got. Okay, so what's next? We know you got it because you got on 13 chains around your neck and 2 Rolexes on your arm and got braces all the way up to your forearm. So we know you got money. So what's next? So, like I said, man, I think it goes both ways. But I think that what she was just truly saying, and I completely understand what she's saying, man, support what you want to hear. I know that's what I do. Like, it's certain music that I love that I just support. Like I said, that's why I buy a lot of music. I don't listen to a lot of mumble rap, but the music that I listen to, I'm willing to purchase it. Like, one of my favorite albums this year is the Jim Jones Project. El Capo, like, it's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing body of work. Like, his last 2 or 3 projects have been really, really good, though. So I try to listen to things that I like to listen to, and I don't try to slander the things that I don't listen to. Like, you'll never hear me come on this podcast and be like, oh, all them young rappers are trash. It's just not, what I like, so I don't have to trash it. I just like to listen to what I like to listen to. In other news, man, shout out to A$AP Rocky, man. Free A$AP Rocky. He's in a Sweden jail. It's been reported that he is in terrible conditions in Sweden. And the reason he's in jail is, I guess you could say, it's kind of pointless. He shouldn't be there. So there's a petition going around that I personally signed I think I did it through Instagram, to get him home and out of jail, man. So again, man, free A$AP Rocky, hold your head. And hopefully he'll be home soon, man, out of this Sweden jail, because I heard the conditions are just terrible. He's barely eating, so I pray that he gets home soon. The last person I knew that was in a Sweden jail, man, was a guy. He's a camera guy for the Brilliant Idiots podcast and Andrew Schultz. His name is Alex Media. He was in jail for a fight. Got to fighting with, I guess it was a security guard or a police officer in Sweden, and he had to spend like a month in jail in Sweden, but he did get out. He said the conditions were horrible the first few days, in like the first 2 or 3 weeks, and then after that, they put him in a better place. So, like I said, ASAP Rocky, free him, man. Stay safe, man. Keep your head up. Okay. I gotta just go ahead and get to it, man. Switch over to NBA free agency. Listen, man. The NBA is by far. I tell y'all all the time, man. NBA, man. My homegirl got mad at me. She was like, she said I don't talk to her and things like that. She was like, but you can talk to anybody about basketball. I was like, man, listen. Basketball is my first love, and I can be talking about basketball by myself. I can be talking about it with my son. I can be talking about it to a college coach, to friends. I'm excited when I talk about basketball. I don't care who it's with or what level of basketball it is. I'm excited. So, like I said, man, it's been the last 2 weeks in free agency has been crazy. So, first thing that happened, I didn't get a chance to talk about because I was busy last week and didn't get around to doing it. And I didn't want to give y'all a half-ass show. But I didn't think it was the biggest domino. But after the first few days, you know, Kevin Durant and Kyrie went to Brooklyn. AD is in L.A. Everybody was waiting on Kawhi, and Kawhi took his time. And made a decision that was best for him. And Kawhi pulled one of the, probably one of the most powerful moves in NBA history because he chose to go to the Clippers, which is okay, fine. But he managed to get Paul George to come with him. Now, as we all know, Paul George just signed a 4-year contract to stay in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. They just played. He was 1 year into his deal, and Kawhi was like, I want him, and if you can get him to come to the Clippers with me, which we all knew he wanted to come home, if you can get him to come to L.A. with me, I'm your guy. I'm on the way. Steve Ballmer and the GM over there made some calls and got it done. And they found a way to get Paul George out of their contract. Now, they gave up some things to get him. They gave up a lot to give him. They gave up a lot of picks. Oklahoma City got a lot of picks for him, but you know, I think it was worth it. I truly do. I think it was worth it. I think that they got exactly what they were looking for. So now in LA, they didn't give up much. They still got Patrick Beverley. They still got Montrezl Harrell. They still kept Lou Will. The center that they got from the Lakers last season, they still got a chance to keep him. They kept the core of their team together and added Paul George and Kawhi to it. They will literally be the best wing defensive team in the, man, that I could possibly think of. You got Pat on the ball and you got two great wing players, two-way defenders and Paul George and Kawhi on your wings. Like, guards would not be able to score on them guys. They're long, they're tough, they're physical, they're smart. Like, it's unbelievable. So I think that was a great – and I think for what – okay, so when I first heard about the trade, I did not understand what Oklahoma City was trying to do. Because, you know, you just signed him and you were trying to make a push to try to possibly win a ring. And you just up and trade your best player in Paul George. I think he's better than Westbrook, but, you know, some people don't feel that way. But you get rid of him. So you leave Westbrook, you get a whole lot of picks. But I'm like, man, what is your pick? Like, those picks, man, I'm not big on picks. I'm sorry. I've never been big on picks. Because I feel like a lot of times people use those picks as potential. And, hey, man, forget this potential. Show me what you can do. I don't want to always I don't always want to judge you off what you have a possibility of doing. I need to know what you can do at this moment right now. So I'm not big on picks, especially, and I was just having a conversation. I'm going to have this conversation again, man. Like, as far as college players, I had that conversation another day. But I'm sitting there, and I just didn't understand. And then after a week or a couple of days passed by, another bombshell hit, and Oklahoma City has traded Russell Westbrook to Houston Rockets for Chris Paul. Now, let me say this. First and foremost, I don't know how this is going to work. I think the Houston Rockets did themselves, I think they did well by getting rid of that Chris Paul contract, because I think, honest to God, I think besides the John Wall contract, I don't think there's a worse contract in NBA history than the Chris Paul contract that he's under right now. Chris Paul next year will make $38.5 million. The year after that, he'll make $41 million. And the last year of that contract, he'll make $44 million. It's an absolute terrible contract. It's just a terrible contract. And I will argue anybody. Chris Paul has never in his career, I don't care when he was with New Orleans, I don't care when he was with the LA Clippers, he's never been worth that amount of money. Nothing he has done has been worth $38, $41, and $44 million. Nothing he's ever done. But he got that contract, so I know as soon as he signed that contract, well, I would even say this, as soon as he went to Houston, I knew it was a bad deal. I was like, this ain't gonna work. Like, remember earlier this year when they was in the playoffs and going to the playoff hunt, and you hear all these people talk about that Daryl Morey loves the analytics and blah blah blah. I'm like, I don't know how Chris Paul can take this, because the Chris Paul that I perceive him to be is this competitive, grit, tough minded point guard that just want to win at all costs. You can't call me into a meeting and say, hey, we're going to try to beat them by analytics. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are we going to do basketball-wise to try to beat this team? Because analytics not going to do it. Analytics, you sit up and tell me if we take more threes than them, then we have a better chance at winning. What are you talking about? Because they're probably going to shoot 45, 50%, and we're going to sit over here and shoot 30. So we end up going to lose this game regardless. Then you don't want us to take 2-point shots because it's not a good percentage. So you're cutting. It's only two options that I have, to get all the way to the basket for a layup or a dunk or a 3-point shot. So no in between. And I've been trying to tell people, like, y'all swimming down at Golden State. Yeah, they had the best shooting team probably ever assembled. But y'all don't understand how many mid-range shots they took. Kevin Durant dominated from mid-range. Klay Thompson shoots mid-range. Steph Curry shoots mid-range. Like, it's a mixture of both mid-range and 3-point shots. And last, whatever the case may be, they take open shots. So I always wonder, like, how is Chris Paul sitting there and just saying, like, okay, yeah, we're going to try to beat them on analytics. So I knew it just the mindset didn't click right to me. The mindset of the Houston Rockets and analytics and Chris Paul and basketball. It just didn't mix. So you brought him over there, and I thought it was a bad fit. And then, because they're both, number one, is two dominant ball handlers. Then you go through 2 years, and he gets hurt. Then you sign this big-ass contract. I'm like, this is stupid. You signed this man after he pulled his hamstring in the playoffs, and you come back and you give him a 4-year deal. Like, with an average of, like, $42 million a year. It's ridiculous. So that contract, I was just like, I didn't understand how they was going to get from up under that contract. But then all they did, they took a bad contract and then They gave away a bad contract for another bad contract. And I think Westbrook is a bad contract, but you can somewhat justify the money that he's going to be making over the next few years. You can somewhat justify it. He plays. He's available. Plays hard. Put up numbers. Do I think they're always winning numbers? No, but he does it. So, you know, you kind of can justify the Westbrook getting paid that amount of money. But so with Westbrook and Harden, now my problem with this is that, because I've had this conversation in a group text with people, and they were like, oh my God, they're going to be so good. I'm like, okay, they talented. But basketball, like, y'all are looking at numbers. I mean, James Harden averaged 36, and Westbrook averaged a triple-double, so they just going to team up together and run off and kill the league. And I'm like, oh, wait a second now. Harden has the ball 41% of the time when his team is on offense. The next closest person to him is Westbrook at number two, and he has the ball 33% of the time. So the only question that I ask you, and I will ask anybody this, because I saw some reports that different GMs around the league like to trade and different NBA guys like to trade, but I'm like, who's going to play off the ball? Because neither one of them guys move when their hands are not on the ball. James Harden would damn near stand at half court. That's how much he cares about offense when the ball is not in his hands. That was one of the issues that him and Chris Paul have. It's like, okay, when I got the ball, you just stand there looking stupid. You don't move. You don't cut. You don't even make yourself a threat on the offensive end if you don't have your hands on the ball. So you can't put Harden off the ball. Because of that, because he's not going to do nothing. He's not setting those screens and back doors and block. He's not doing none of that. At least I hadn't saw him do it. But then, okay, take Westbrook and put him off the ball. Lord knows he can't shoot. So what you going to do? So this second defender just going to sit back and wait on James Harden? Okay, fund him into whatever direction that Westbrook is. Because I can help, because Westbrook's shooting 29% from the three. He's definitely not a catch and shoot guy, so I'm not worried about that. So who's gonna do that? Okay, let's say that they can put their egos aside and try to play together. At the end of the day, I mean this with every fiber being in my bone. I promise y'all I do. I mean this, and I need y'all to hear me. I mean this with everything in me. Mike D'Antoni is a shit of a coach. He's horrible. He has one offense, and that's all he's ever done. Get a ball to my best ball handler, let him make a play. That's it. So even if them two guys come together and say, bro, we're going to sacrifice to try to make each other better, try to win a championship and take a shot and win the championship, your offense still going to be pretty shit. Yeah, one of you probably, just let's be clear, both of you guys might average a lot. But your offense is going to be terrible. There's going to be everybody go sit in the corner. There's going to be no movement, no ball movement, no player movement. P.J. Tucker go to the corner. Austin Rivers go to the corner. What's the big kid name? I can't remember his name. The center. Go baseline, mid-post or whatever. Short corner. Go to the short corner. Westbrook, pick a wing. Harden, go do what you do. There's nothing. So when you do that, the regular season, you're going to be exciting, fast, break all this bullshit. But then when you get into a series, you have to play these guys. You have to beat the team four times in 2 weeks. That ain't going to work. I don't care how talented you are. It ain't. So Mike D'Antoni is just a bad coach to me. I've never liked him. I've always felt like he was overrated. And people get on TV and talk about he's an offensive genius. And I would love to just sit there and ask him, explain to me how he's an offensive genius. When all he honestly does, get a ball to James Harden, Steve Nash, let them run pick and roll. Every team in the league run pick and roll. So what makes him an offensive genius? What makes him an offensive genius? Because it's for his team, I know a lot of people say it's hit or miss in the league. It's a hit or miss league. But his team, it literally is. I don't think that's necessarily true for everybody. But for his team, if he hits them, they win. If they miss him, they get blowed out by 30. I don't want to play on a team where it's a hit or miss. Like, I can't switch it up. Like, some nights, because I've seen Golden State team where they may not be making shots, but they can lock down defensively and they can do different things on offense to pull away a win. It's only one way you win with that team with James Harden and Mike D'Antoni as a coach. It's one way. And if you're not making shots, you lose. So I don't ever want to play on a team like that. So, and then I think he's a bad coach, and I think Daryl Morey is a bad GM. For everybody walking around here talking about he the best GM in the league, tell me, what has he done to be considered the best GM in the league? All he's ever done since I've known him to be in Houston was try to go get big names and try to match them together with Harden. He went and got, look, and then the bad part about it, everybody that he's went and got is a terrible analytically. For him to be such an analytical guy, and the analytics don't help us beat these teams. He's been so obsessed with beating Golden State. But you go get these guys that are just analytically horrible. You went and got Dwight Howard. You go get big name free. You got Dwight Howard. You got Chris Paul. You went and got Melo. Now you go and get, and any big name that comes up, Jimmy Butler came up, they want him. Any big name that has ever come up, you want him. And now you go and trade for Russell Westbrook, who is, again, analytically, he's terrible for your team. But the name is big. It's going to be exciting. We're going to win some games. We're going to sell tickets. We're going to sell out on the road. We're going to sell jerseys. Revenue is going to be popping. But we're not going to win the championship. And the fact that you try to sell that to these fans in Houston and they believe it is mind-boggling to me, because you're not going to win with a Westbrook on one wing and a Harden on one wing. You're not going to do it. Because one of them, you can't. I hear people saying, oh, they can stagger their minutes. Tell me when staggering minutes ever worked for any NBA team. Tell me. So you're going to take Westbrook out for a quarter and be like, hey, James Harden is your quarter? And then James Harden, okay, you got to sit down there and let it be Westbrook quarter? How? Westbrook is a terrible shooter, so he's never going to be in rhythm. James Harden is a better shooter, better player. I think he's a better player than Westbrook. He's a better shooter, so he may get in the flow a little bit quicker than Westbrook, but they're not going to be able to flow like that. So you can't stagger minutes. You can't take the ball out of James Harden's hand. The reason that both of them guys average their points, I said this on the podcast earlier this year, to where I said, the reason that these guys average what they average is because, like, when you look at it, if you have the ball in your hands that much, you're going to look like you're productive. Like, my cousin tried to make an argument that James Harden is just as good as Kevin Durant. It's not even close. James Harden is not in the same atmosphere as Kevin Durant to me. Not even close. Oh, he averaged 36, so he had the ball every possession, all possession. I ain't even looked at the usage percentage of a Kevin Durant, but I guarantee you it was not even comparable to 41%. He still averaged 27 this year. 9 points less than what James Harden averaged. So you mean to tell me you don't think he can get 9 points if he had the ball that much? That efficient Kevin Durant go get 30 points off 14 shots. James Harden get 35 points on 28 shots. And then from them 28 shots, if you really look at the numbers, he made 15 fucking free throws. So he ain't make no shots. He just shooting up. He just got the ball so much. He had 35. He made 15 free throws. He took 28 shots. So he made 15 free throws. So what you got, 20 points. So he made it how many shots to get them 20? So he's not that effect like true shooting percentage. Oh, yeah, his true shooting percentage be so high because he make 15 out of 16 free throws a game. He's not even in the same ballpark as Kevin Durant. Not even close. So when I hear people say that, it's like, bro, y'all are tripping. Like, come on, bro, like him? Kevin, man, please, not even close. So, you know, I don't know how it's going to work. I'm looking forward to seeing how it's going to work. Now, on to Chris Paul. Chris Paul is at OKC, and I think they traded for him to try to get more, because they had to give up some draft pieces to trade Westbrook. And I think that they are going to – I think they got Chris Paul to use him as a trade piece, to trade him somewhere else. Because Chris Paul being in OKC just goes against everything that they're trying to do right now. They're breaking the team down, rebuild, start off young. And I think Sam Presley over the years has picked some really, really good players. So, you know, he's going to get back out there, scout, and just rebuild from the ground up. So – I think they're just going to use him to trade somewhere else. And where he can end up at, I don't know. Miami is being thrown around. I saw Chris Broussard mention Philadelphia today, and I liked that trade with Philadelphia and OKC. That was a really, really, good trade. But I think at this point, Chris Paul wants to win. So, yeah, it goes against everything that they're trying to do. Chris Paul really, really wants to win. I don't know. I don't know, man. Him and James Harden bumped heads for I think legitimate reasons. I don't know where he can end up. I know he probably won't play a game in OKC. I don't think he'll play a game there. But I say I think the Miami, I like him with Jimmy Butler. I think their mindsets are similar, so I think that could work. I think the Philadelphia trade, it was just, I'm not going to see him trying to break the whole trade down, but it just simply, they were just saying Ben Simmons and Chris Paul trade, send Ben Simmons to OKC with a lot of young guys and shooters. Because, like I said, they got so many picks and things like that they can't surround him with shooters. And Ben Simmons can't shoot, so him and Embiid really don't. They play good together, but I don't know if he could ever win a championship with Ben Simmons not being able to shoot. But you can put Chris Paul in there with Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, and Joel Embiid. So Chris Paul does fit in there really, really well. But with the money, though, like with the money, man, it'd be hard for me to bring him over there. I would honestly tell Chris Paul, if I'm any GM, that OKC would reach out to me. If OKC would reach out to me as a GM and trying to trade Chris Paul to me, I would be like, let me talk to Chris Paul first. And the only thing I would tell him, I said, the only way that I would consider bringing you to my team is if we reconstruct your contract. We would have to rework that contract. And I don't know if he's willing to do that. But that amount of money for him, I it'll be hard for me to pay him. It will truly be hard for me to pay him. At this point, I'd like take a buyout, whatever the case may be. It'll be damn hard for me to sit up there and pay Chris Paul at 34 years old $38 million this year. And then 41 next year. And then 44 after that. Like, it'll be difficult for me to do that, like, in my right mind, because I know if I do that, my salary cap is going to be strapped and I'm not going to be able to put the right pieces around in order to build this team. I'm going to go in. Like I said, if you send him, like, I was telling my friend that, okay, let's say if you do send him to Miami. If I'm Pat Riley, I'm sitting there listening, like, do I want to go on a luxury tax for Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler that's not going to win a championship? Like, that's not going to – good team, but they're not going to win a championship with Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler. So do I want to go on a luxury tax for that? I don't. So my thing is, okay, if you want to come play here, we got to reconstruct this contract and get this contract to where it makes more sense for both of us, for you and for us. And if you don't want to do that, then you can stay where you are. You can stay in OKC, and they can do whatever they want to do with you. But we're not going to pay you that amount of money. So that would be my solution. I would just tell them, like, I want you here, but we 38 million, not going to happen. We're not going to do that. So, like, man, the last 25 days in the NBA, man, you got to think about it, man. The NFL training camp is almost here, man, and we hadn't spoke nothing about it just for the simple fact that the NBA offseason has been crazy. Like, it's really been crazy. Like even the Morris twin, like, he had committed to go to San Antonio for 2 years for $10 million a year, and then he backed out and said, nah, I can get more money in New York. Back out of the San Antonio deal, goes to New York for 1 year, $15 million. Like, even little things like that, it's like, bro, like, the league has just been, because I didn't get a chance to come on here last week and say it, but, like, even the it did surprise me that Kawhi went to the Clippers. The bomb was that he got Paul George to go with him, and it never crossed my mind that Paul George would be going, because he just signed a contract to stay in OKC. So I'm like, he's not going to be able to go. So they pulled that trade off. So I'm like, boom, that was a bomb to me. Like I said, that was a power move to me. Like an absolute power move to me. So, and it's just been a crazy, crazy offseason between Kevin Durant torn his Achilles. He's not going to play next year. To Kawhi Leonard going to LA, to AD going to LA. Because at this point, like all NBA teams now, there's no big three or anything like that. It's a lot of duos around the league. And they're just building around the duo, which I like. I like it, man. I think this year is spread out all over the place. I think Portland has got better. I think NBA people think that that Utah has gotten better. I just don't know who Utah be able to guard. I know they got great team defense and they got a hell of a coach in Snyder. I just don't know who they're going to be able to guard. Like, honestly, like they got Gobert, but got Bogdanović and man, what's his name? I can't remember the left-hand guy named Joe Ingles. I just don't know if they'll be able to guard anybody. Like, my thing is, like, Joe Ingles like to aggravate people, but when people finally be like, bro, he reminds me of a Dellavedova. Like, he's more talented than Dellavedova, but you remember a few years back when Dellavedova was in the finals and he was guarding Steph in the first couple of days? Oh, my God, he's a Steph Curry stopper, blah, blah, blah. And then Steph Curry, like, game three, maybe four, he just, like, man, just go by this guy. All this playing hard, throwing your hand, bumping into me. Yeah, it looked good on camera, but go by him. And from that point on, Steph Curry just kind of took over the series. So, you know, I think he's the same way. So I think when guys finally say Joe Ingles, when he gets on people's nerves, then them guys finally just lock in and be like, I'm going to stop playing against him and just play. It's quick and simple. It's easy. Bogdanović can't guard nobody either. So, you know, it's a lot of teams around the league that are just gearing up with two stars and just trying to build around those two stars. Which, I think the Lakers are good this year. I think Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to be great together. I think Kawhi and Paul George are going to be great together. When you got Lou Will coming off the bench who can give you 30, you got Montrezl Harrell who will be in, can give you 15 and 10 a night. You got, like, guys like that. You got up there in Portland, you got Enes Kanter who can come in and play well. You'll put him beside Jokic, and they'll play well beside CJ and Dame. You got out east, you got who's out east that teamed up? You got the big guys in Philadelphia. They're a huge team, like huge. So, you know, you got some guys that are that teamed up. Like I said, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun to watch. But it's going to be very, very interesting to say the least, though, man. It's just been it's just been interesting, man. Everybody counting out Golden State. I don't know why. I'm stupid. Still think they'll be great because you lost Kevin Durant. You're going to lose Klay Thompson for, I would say, he won't be back to maybe after All-Star break. But you picked up D'Angelo Russell. I think he's going to be good. You also picked up Willie Cauley-Stein for a league minimum. Like, you got that long athletic guy to play who Draymond is going to get a chance to teach him and show him how to be more effective on the defensive end, which he's already good at. But then Draymond is going to open up opportunities to make him a little bit better on the offensive side by giving him lobs and little dump offs and things of that nature. D'Angelo, they're going to put him in their system, make him better. I think they got better. I still think they second or third best team in the West. People count them out just because they lost Kevin Durant and then they, Klay will be out. But I think they just retooled up and I think they're going to be good again. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting year to say the least. I forgot to talk about Mike Conley going to Utah. So it's all over the place, man. And y'all just got to be prepared, man. Like, Jimmy Butler went down there to Miami by himself, but you know, he by himself. Hassan Whiteside is up there in Portland because Miami traded him away. It's just, I truly I truly do not understand why people talk bad about the NBA, man. It's just a really, really, it's... I'm super, 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 super excited about this year's upcoming NBA season, man. It's going to be one for the ages, to say the least. It truly is. And I hope you guys pay attention to it, man. And I'll be done with that, man. I got to tell y'all about the movie of the week, man. The movie of the week, man, is Real Player One. A movie on HBO, man, that I watched is about a real-life interactive game that intertwines real life and video games. Man, I found this game on HBO a few months back. But it's about this kid, man, that like I said, he lived in, it's in the future. I think it's 2045 or something like that. It's a year. It's like a virtual reality game, man, where they're in real life, but you can play a video game. You can pretty much put yourself in it. And you can also buy things on the game that come to you in real life. And you can, you know what I'm saying, you can use both in the game and in real life. So it's a really, really dope movie, man, that it was easy to follow. It was a lot going on, but it was easy to follow. So if you get a chance, man, go on HBO, man. It's on HBO. It's called Real Player One, man. Again, it's been an absolute pleasure. I want to thank y'all again for lending me your listening ear. For however long I decided to run my mouth about a little bit of nothing, give y'all some unusual thoughts that I have in my brain. Again, man, y'all can reach out to me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Prisoner of War 10 on Instagram and Facebook. No, Instagram and Twitter. Prisoner of War 10, exactly how it's spelled, exactly how it sounds. On Facebook, you can find me at Desmond Boogie Yeatsman. Leave comments, questions, concerns, whatever you want to leave. I promise you I'll get back to you. And like I say every week, you can fit in. Just be unusual when you do it. I'm out. Some people say I'm crazy. I ain't crazy. I'm just kicking. I ain't crazy. I'm just kicking.